You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth from relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Seems like I got some stuff started with this new series. Any of you all asked anybody about, you asked somebody? Okay. Anybody else? Y'all know what your homework was? Give them a mic, Marty. Give them a mic. What was the assignment?
Oh, ask someone, what are your blind spots?
Okay.
And we were only allowed to answer with a thank you.
Uh-huh.
And I forget the other one, but it was 2 answers. Oh, only one blind spot.
Okay.
So I asked the person with my blind spot, and they said I had boundary issues.
Okay, all right.
And I just said thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Did you understand what that meant?
No, but I didn't even go in detail.
Okay.
I just said thank you.
It helps when you know what they're talking about. So you can go back and ask them. Boundary issues. Okay, go back and ask them, then report back to us on Sunday. All right, who else? Anybody else? Thank you. All
right, so I asked my person what the blind spots were, and he said, you have a hard time asking for help. He said, I thought that was funny that we talked about that day in church, because that's like one of your biggest things. I bug you all the time about helping you, and you never, you know, accept my help.
Okay.
So I said, okay, and thank you.
Okay. And at least they said the thank you part, right?
Yeah,
right?
I said, okay, thanks. Okay. And I didn't say anything else. And then today I went to go visit my parents, and I've been meaning to ask them, like, I wanted to ask them, like, if they would help me get this chair, like, out of my living room. And so today I sat by, and I was like, can you guys come help me get the chair out of the living room? And then I just, like, said it really fast. My mom was like, yeah, of course. And then my dad called me, and he was like, your mom said you wanted my help.
Wow.
And I was like, mm-hmm. Okay. Like, I'll be home late, but mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Well, I was sitting beside my good friend Deb.
Okay.
We never sit beside each other on Sunday. I don't know how we ended up.
Okay.
But she told me mine, which is the same as Priyanka's.
Okay.
Curly, you never let me do anything for you. You've done so much for me over the years, and she offered to do something for me recently, and I said, no, I'm good. So I'm going to call her before Christmas and ask her to help me with something.
Right. Okay. All right.
But that's her, my thing. Same with Brianna.
Okay.
It's
all right.
Never asking for help.
Asking for help. Okay. Who else? Anybody else ask anybody? You got two back there?
So I asked, and I was told, slow to give my opinion.
Slow to give my opinion. Okay. Okay. You receive it? You just said thank you?
I just said thank you.
Okay. All right. Sharon?
I asked, and I haven't received my answer yet, because I asked in a text.
Okay.
And I was told that when they saw me tonight that they would share that with me.
Okay. That person is here tonight? Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Ms. Monty?
I asked my mom, because she knows me well.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And she said that I don't know how hard things cut when I say them.
Okay.
And I said, thank you.
Okay. All right. That's all you said. Thank you. That's all she said, Mom? Was thank you. Okay. Okay. All right. You guys got it. Faith?
So I called one of my friends named Tina. And she says basically that I don't have enough confidence in myself.
Okay. All right. Okay. And you said thank you. Okay. Anybody else? That's it? Okay. We're talking about blind spots.
I think I know the answer to this, but can people be a blind spot too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because people have told you, leave them alone. Mm-hmm. And what we do? How many excuses do we make up for why we should be hanging with them? They need us. We're going to lead them to Christ. And they just, God gave me that assignment. Y'all heard that one? Okay. All right. Monty, you can breathe. Go ahead and breathe. It's all right. All right. So doing a quick review. Somebody read that for us, Monty. You got the mic.
Our personal,
just don't say it harshly. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Our personal traits are aspects we don't even know about that may limit the way we act, react, behave, or believe that limit our effectiveness.
So what does that mean, guys? That's what a blind spot is. But see how many characteristics it can have? Cause the way we act, react, believe, that limit our effectiveness. What does that mean to you?
When we're doing things that we don't even know we're doing them, and they're pushing people away from us that are supposed to lead us elsewhere.
Okay, that's a really good example.
I just see that we're limit, and so that limits our potential and our growth and everything. That word just stands out to me, limit, just limits us in so many ways.
How many people have told you, how many times have you said you misunderstood, but you have met multiple people from different mamas and daddies, from different countries, and they have all said the same thing? Anybody encounter that? one person? Where how can all these different people have the same opinion of you? Give her a mic. She got something she want to say. You got to raise your hand. Okay.
Because it's a true fact.
It's a true fact.
Good now, or bad.
We're talking about different people. Y'all got what I'm saying? Yeah. Are saying the same thing. And you're saying it's not so. This person came from California. This person was born in Florida. This person was born in Jamaica. And they all say the same thing about you. What's the likelihood of that? Did they talk? All right, Nelson, you read this one for us.
Areas where we just can't see how, where, and why we are wrong.
I'm going to ask you a question. Y'all ready for this? I'm just going in. Fair enough? Yes. When the last time you said you was wrong? Never, I see never in the background. Huh? Raise your hand. When's the last time you said you was wrong?
Today.
Today? What happened?
Yeah. An order was pulled at my job for a company, okay. For some parts.
Okay.
And I'm the one that pulled the order.
Okay.
And one part was missing.
Okay.
So my supervisor came to me and told me that, asked me where the valve was, because it was a huge valve.
Uh-huh.
And I said, why? He said, because it was supposed to have been on the order.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, whose order was it?
Okay.
And he said, your name was on it.
Okay.
And I said, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I missed it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Killer called me looking for something yesterday. And I said, just go to the closet. Open it. Open up the door. Look in the closet. It should be in this box or that box. Curly looking. The Curly's looking. And I said, it should just be right there. Curly looking. She said, I tell you what, I'll get it another time. So this morning, I'm getting ready to head out to work. She's on the computer. And I opened up this other drawer. And lo and behold, what? I said, Curly, I no wonder you couldn't find that because it's right here. I missed it. So when's the last time you said you missed it or you made a mistake? See, anybody? Jasmine?
Mine was literally last week.
Last week?
Okay. I had a coworker the week before I went on vacation. He was hounding me about something that was irrelevant to my position.
Okay.
And they had me doing a million and one things, so I didn't have time to be bothered by him. And so when he came following me to my cubicle, I said, I don't have time for what you have to say right now. If you could just tell my trainer and she will relay the message when I have a second. Granted, I didn't say it that calmly.
Okay, of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. My ethnicity came out
okay. For
a hot second, but in a professional manner still. And so I took the week of vacation off. I actually looked for him that day
awesome.
To apologize, okay. But he was nowhere to be found, thankfully. Okay. And so then I waited till after I came back from vacation, and we were walking down the hall to the bathroom together. I said, you got a second? He was like, yeah. I said, I'd like to apologize for snapping at you the other week. I was very stressed trying to prepare everything before my vacation, will you forgive me? He was like, no, it was my bad. I was like, yeah, it was. But
Ooh. Thank
you for, in my head, I'm thinking
okay,
this.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
I was
good.
Glad that I apologized.
Very good. Y'all write this down. I come back to you, Ed. If you're never wrong, that's your blind spot. Y'all move a little slow in that writing on that one. If you're never wrong, that's your blind spot. Guys, whether you know it or not, people dying trying to be right. Got to have last word. I'm going to have the last word. And it costs them their life. Ed, you got something? I got one.
I'm wrong sometimes. And I'm human. So I do admit that I'm wrong. And I was trying to remember a particular instance. And I was looking for something in the refrigerator and I didn't see it.
Okay.
And Sharon, I saw it the next morning because Sharon had pulled it out, and she said it was there. So I apologized and said I was wrong. I missed it.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
So I can. So why is it hard to admit you're wrong when somebody else points it out, but when you see it, it's easier?
Okay. What do y'all think?
somebody else pointed out is rejection.
Okay. You got some?
Okay. I apologized to my mom a few months ago.
Okay.
For things that I've said about her and to other people about her. And although at the time I felt like it was right at the time, as I've grown older and taken her perspective as a parent, being a single parent, raising seven kids, and just her own stresses and things, I had to kind of re-look at it.
Okay.
So I apologize to her for just being a hateful kid.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, appreciate it. Well, what'd she say?
My mom's not very forthcoming of her feelings or anything, but I was crying when I apologized to her, but she was just like, it's okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I think maybe she took it in.
Okay.
And we've kind of been trying to have a better bridge of mother and daughter relationship.
Okay. That's awesome. Yes, ma'am.
Last Wednesday, I had a worker who spent 35 minutes driving around downtown looking for a parking space.
Okay.
And that was 35 minutes she was supposed to be cleaning.
Okay.
So I was two blocks away. Found her two parking spaces within a minute. So I was very annoyed. So this week, I went ahead of her and found a parking space for her. And, you know, tried to be as humble as I could. Hey, do you want this space? I'm holding it for you. Got a text message this morning saying, hey, I got a $60 ticket for the space that you gave me yesterday. She didn't say that, but that's what I heard.
Gotcha. Okay.
so I said, just, I apologize. First of all, I didn't know that they ticket after six. I apologized to her for giving her the wrong space. And then I paid the ticket for her.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So tickets are $60.
Within 7 days, it'd be
$90. $90 in what? Whoa, okay. Blind on purpose. Y'all read this together. Information that is so troubling, so frightening, or so opposed to what we believe that to absorb it would shatter our view of ourselves and the world. So if I acknowledge that I'm wrong, how bad would that shatter? If you have a problem acknowledging when you're wrong, how bad acknowledging that you're wrong would shatter you? Oh, you want the mic? No, no. Somebody raise their hand, Sharon? Because the only reason we don't accept truth is we're afraid of what truth means. God's word, truth, is freedom. But somewhere in on the inside of us, to acknowledge that situation is to shatter ourselves. What is it about ourselves that we believe that if we see it the way it really is, what is it going to do to us? Sharon?
I had a personal situation with my mom.
Okay.
And she did something that was contrary to what I believed that she should have done and what she ultimately believed that she should have done.
Okay.
But dealing with that, realizing that she, how can I say that? Realizing that she, realizing that she realized that she had a blind spot that she would never, ever admit to, put her in such a tailspin that she just completely, she lost herself in her emotions to the point where she just rejected me.
Okay, okay.
Because as far as she was concerned, she's the best mother in the whole wide world.
Okay.
She doesn't make any mistakes. She's perfect.
Okay.
But when she realized that she wasn't, it just took her to another place that she really didn't intend on going.
Okay.
But it took her a while to come out of it.
Okay. So Sharon, what's a while? 3 weeks? A month?
The first time, it was a month.
Okay.
The second time ended up being about 4 days.
Okay. All right. So it's shorter. Okay. So is our worth tied to us being a mother or a father or a husband or a wife? What's God's worth of us? What is his worth of us? Is it attached to who we, what we do, or who we are? There's a question. You got one here?
It should be who we are. But you gave a message a while back that's just stuck with me about our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the strongest, most, to me, message you ever gave, because okay. A lot of stuff is tied into that.
Yes, sir.
How you see yourself.
Okay.
I mean, but when something comes to shatter that fragile shell of yourself that you built,
okay,
it's a doozy.
Okay.
I mean, because then you got to, like, just, I don't know, in my mind, I think you got to just get back up from scratch.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if God comes in and you ask him, how much am I worth to you? And he says, worth a lot. Then the other person turns around and says, that's not what I was expecting. So I say, so what were you expecting? And they say, well, I was expecting him to say some. So what's inside them were to accept the fact that he said you're worth a lot would shatter their view of themselves. Once again, that's a question. Mike. Okay, so if I'm asking God, how much am I worth to you? And he comes back and he says, a lot. I turn around and I say, but that's not what I was expecting. So then I say, so what were you expecting him to say? I was expecting him to say, worth some. Y'all follow me? So why wouldn't I receive, the person receive, that he said, isn't it a lot more than better than some?
Yeah.
So you can't receive that because it will shatter your view of yourself. So what kind of view of yourself do you have that the God of all creation says you're worth a lot to him, but you don't like the answer? So you said, I would rather he said, I'm worth some. Yes, ma'am.
So our view of ourselves a lot of times comes from our parents. It comes from our environment. And if we've been told we're not worth anything, or, you know, you're never going to make it or anything like that, and then you find out that you're worth a lot to God, mm-hmm. that will shatter you, because it's like all this time I've been being held back by other people's perceptions of me.
Okay.
That's not what God thinks of me.
Okay.
You know, I could have been so much further. I could have done so much more.
Okay. So at what point will you choose to believe the lot instead of the sum?
You got to start processing that right away you can move.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Y'all follow me? So our blind spot comes from the fact that we believe that to accept truth instead of a blind spot, we're going to shatter something. So if I'm wrong, this is going to shatter something.
Okay, speaking on me.
I acknowledge it.
So God says that I was priceless.
Okay, all right.
But I expected him to say I was worthless.
Okay, right, okay, all right.
So I guess if I have to live up to God's expectation,
okay.
I'm just speaking on me.
Okay, all right.
That's accountability.
Okay.
For me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, okay. I'm accountable to be priceless.
Okay.
So I have to be better than what I was before.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And so, that's kind of hard.
Okay. All right. So did he say that you were priceless, so now you're accountable?
No.
He just said you priceless.
I was priceless.
Okay. But where did I got to be accountable come in?
Because I guess that's God's view of me, because as when I thought I was worthless, uh-huh. that's what people
see it. Okay.
See it.
Okay. All right.
So if God said that I'm priceless,
okay.
Shouldn't I have to live up to being priceless?
So when he said you were priceless, you were still doing ugly stuff?
Of course.
Okay. So did you live up to that?
No.
Okay. So he called you what he saw you as.
Just to be myself. And I'm priceless.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He didn't say you priceless because you did right.
Or wrong. Okay.
He just said you're priceless. So that's what I'm asking you all to ask yourself. Why do I have such a hard time believing that God says good things about me?
Maybe because other people said so many bad things about
okay.
me.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
That's a good point. Ed?
It's through what we see and okay. what others have said and where we are in our lives
okay.
is what we place where we place ourselves
okay.
instead of if God said it, that settles it.
Okay.
And just accept it.
Okay.
Instead of, you know, we go back in our heads and say, well, I did this, I did that, I didn't reach this, and so forth. And just accept the fact that God made you perfectly.
Okay. All right.
You are yourself, even though you don't think so.
Okay.
You don't think you're perfect.
Okay.
So we've got to get myself. I've got to get that out of my head.
Okay. All right.
And that's what keeps us from accepting what God says we are.
Okay.
Or who God says we are.
Okay. All right. So I see, Jay. So what's your blind spot about pastors? I say it in a minute. I don't know how to pronounce that. People are like, what? He act like he don't know everything. Because guess what? That's not a blind spot for me. That's freedom. It's freedom to know that you don't have to perform to be who you are. Go ahead.
I was going to answer your question. So people have a hard time receiving from God because he's watching us constantly. He knows every bad thing you did, every lie you told, okay. every like gossip thing that you told somebody. Okay. Like, but yet he still is saying that you're priceless or okay. that you're amazing.
Okay.
So it's challenging to refute that. I mean, it's challenging to accept that because you know that he knows everything.
Okay.
Even the stuff you haven't done yet, he knows what you did.
Okay. Right. Wayne?
Yeah, so I have, like, performance issues.
Okay.
So I look at it like, oh, God, there's something else I got to rise up to the occasion
okay.
to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Something else you got to live up to, Nicole?
I guess I think of it as a movie. So part of my challenge, even in counseling sessions that I've had, when God shows me who I am to him, it's like, I'm not sure he's talking to me.
Okay.
Like, it's hard for me to accept and receive because there's a script that I've developed
okay.
of, like, you know, you see a character in a movie, you kind of know in the beginning how this is going to play out for
gotcha.
That character.
Okay.
So then when you've changed me into a different character, I don't know how this is going to play out for this character. And
okay.
and my backstory doesn't match who it is you're saying that I am. Like, okay, well, if I'm priceless, which was not what God called me, but then why did these things happen to someone who's priceless? Like, it
okay.
does, for me, the pieces
okay.
don't add up.
Okay, okay. All right. I appreciate God's. Nicole said, that's not what he called me. All right. Anybody else? You're thinking though, right? So I just want you to have that thought in your mind. So what am I afraid would shatter if I believed him? What am I afraid would shatter if I believed him? Like if he said I'm loved. When when somebody tell you that they love you, what happened? Do you think they want something? How many of y'all think they want something? Okay, all right. Depending on who it is, okay. Or when they say it. So when did you receive it? When you want to, what does that mean?
That means if someone says that I love you and I don't feel like I want to love them or
okay.
to be loved by them at that moment,
uh-huh.
then I don't receive it.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, what else?
But, no, but otherwise, I do.
Otherwise, you do. Cheryl? Interesting. If you have 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 7 in the process.
I received that they love me after they prove it.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So what God got to do to prove it? Mike, I'm just asking us to think a little bit. That's all.
Yeah. So that doesn't pertain to God. That pertains to people.
Okay.
You know, if God says it, then it just is.
But really? So really, though? I mean, I'm just talking.
Well, it takes time to wrap your head around that. Okay. If you've spent your life thinking that God is just waiting for you to mess up,
okay,
you know, around the corner of the next mess up so he can throw a lightning bolt at you.
Okay.
It takes time. But if you read it in the Word and you keep going over it and you're going over it, eventually it's got to sink in.
Okay. All right. So let me tell you a story about y'all know David was king. And this is a blind spot, you know, because sometimes people say, is blind spots in the Bible? Yes, it is. All right, so David, he king. David minding his own business. He's supposed to be out fighting, right? David's supposed to be out the war. But what David doing? He's sunbathing, okay? He up on top of his balcony. He checking everything out. He got clothes on, though, Kelly. He got clothes on the back, you know. All right. So David looks over, sees Bathsheba. She you know, taking her bath, taking care of herself the way she's supposed to. So David decides, you know, I want that woman. And if you're king, what do you get to do? Whatever you want to do. So David decides, you know, he's going to invite her over, and they're going to do the do and all that kind of stuff. And David liked what took place and liked that relationship. And who cares how she felt, right? Because he's who? King. So this stuff go on for a little while, and David gets her pregnant, and all of a sudden, David don't want to hear anything anybody has to say. So there's this prophet named Nathan. So somebody read for us. Monty, you got it?
David, Nathan said to him, there were two men in the same city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had huge flocks of sheep, herds of cattle.
Okay, who is that? David, why you say that? Why you say that with David? Okay, all right, pick somebody that didn't know the story. Okay? He has wealth. There you go. Okay, all right, keep going. Now you got one that's rich and the other's poor. So who's poor man? Okay, Uriah. That's right. Bathsheba's husband. Okay, keep going.
The poor man had nothing but one little female lamb, which he had bought and raised. It grew up with him and his children as a member of the family. It ate off his plate and drank from his cup and slept on his bed. It was like a daughter to him.
So who is that? That's Bathsheba. Okay, all right, keep going.
One day a traveler dropped in on the rich man. He was too stinky. Oh, sorry, stingy. to take an animal from his own herds or flocks to make a meal for his visitor. So he took the poor man's lamb and prepared a meal to set before his guests. David.
Hold on a sec. Okay, so what's going on right there, people? The top part that we just read. He was too stingy to take an animal from his own flock, herds, to make a meal for his visitors. So he took the poor man's lamb. That was David? Okay, all right. Now, did he have a lot that he could have chose for?
Yes.
All the women in that area? Because
yes.
He's who? Okay. All right, go ahead.
David exploded in anger. As surely as God lives, he said to Nathan, the man who did this ought to be lynched.
Keep going.
He must repay for the lamb four times over for his crime and his stinginess.
Okay.
You're the man, said Nathan, and here's what God, the God of Israel, has said to you. I made you king over Israel. I freed you from the fist of Saul.
And it goes on and on. So y'all read that in your own time. So what happened here, guys? Why didn't Nathan just come up to him and say, hey, man, you took another man's wife. You slept with her. Then you had her husband killed. You told the armies to put him on the front line so that he'll die, get killed. When you put him on the front line, I want everybody else to back up so he's out there fighting by himself. So that way I can have his wife. Now I got all the women in the world, but I got to have this one. Why didn't Nathan walk up to him and just tell him that? Why didn't he just tell him that? Why? Might come your way.
Because it's hard to face the truth.
Ooh. How true is that, guys?
Mm-hmm. So it's, okay, just clarification for me.
Okay.
So Nathan is telling him a story about himself.
There you go.
Just using other different players.
Gotcha.
Okay, so he was able to receive it because he thought it was somebody else.
Ooh, there you go. Girl, I tell you, you got to get right here. Bam! That's it. Jesus used parables. Why did he use parables? So that people would listen, because when they hear about them, they're not willing to receive. But when they think of somebody else, girl, that's why talk shows are so popular. Because you're sitting there and you're trying to tell the people, what you ought to ask her this. Girl, she missed it. I can't believe she's making all that money and she can't even ask the right question. Cheryl?
So that was David's blind spot, being able to hear the truth about himself.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to show you in Scripture. So, guys, we want to find this area and we want to kill it. We want to acknowledge it so that we can be more effective. Go ahead, Wayne.
Vision is obviously he didn't have anyone close enough to him to tell him the truth.
Okay.
So he had to go to a prophet to tell him.
Okay. Because if you spoke to the king and he didn't like what you said, what would be the consequence? Could be.
Off with your head.
Off with your head? Yes, ma'am.
Also, I don't know. This y'all combination.
Cold? Y'all cold? Raise your hand, you cold. Ed, you got him? Okay, yes, ma'am.
It was his blind spot, but it was also his weakness.
Okay.
So the way that people knew that David was dying is they stuck a woman in the bed with him, right? So this was his, like, his thing.
Okay.
You know, so if somebody talks to me about eating healthy,
okay,
that's not my weakness.
Okay.
But if you talk to me about some other things,
okay,
that is my weakness. So it's harder, I think, to solicit wisdom in an area that you don't really want to hear it.
Okay. Okay. I agree. Y'all agree with that? Okay. Because what happened? If we solicit areas where we're not as strong in. Yes, ma'am. Ooh, what? The nerve of us.
We become defensive.
Okay.
Argumentative.
Okay.
Or we begin to justify.
Justify. So that's why I told you all, when you asked about what's one area, I told you all you're supposed to say is what? Thank you. Because, you know, the natural man wants to say what? Well, what about you? I might have one area, but you got 15. I do, Russ. You good? All right, so I want you to ask yourself, what am I afraid would shatter if I receive truth in the area where I have a blind spot? Because see, what I'm trying to do is build up enough evidence where you see that it's a plus for you to change. Because we limit ourselves when we're not open to change, where people dodge you. Y'all know people that dodge you? Do you dodge people?
Yep.
Okay, why y'all dodge people? Why y'all dodge people?
Because some days you just don't want to talk.
Some days you don't want to talk.
Yeah, and some people don't know what body language is.
Okay.
They don't know how to read it. They don't know what it is. They never heard of it. And so they're just going to talk, and you don't feel like talking.
Okay, all right. It seems right. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man and a woman and appears straight before him, but his end is the way of death. How did we miss it, guys? The truth coming, we just chose not to believe it. The truth coming, we chose not to hear it. The truth coming, we said, forget about you. But all of us got areas of our life where we seem right. Can we justify it?
Oh, yeah.
How much sin have we justified before? I want to sleep with such and such. She winked at me, invited me over. What else?
The Bible says if I thought about it, I already did it, so I might as well do it.
That's what other people say. What else? Marta, you smirking mighty hard over there. What you got?
I just think of maybe I didn't hear the Holy Spirit right.
Okay.
That's my go-to.
Okay, okay. How many of y'all say I didn't hear the Holy Spirit right? All right, that's just yours then, Marta.
How else do we get to do what we want to do when we know it's wrong? Okay, we didn't hear the Holy Spirit right. Don't feel like it. What else? It might come your way.
God will forgive me.
God will forgive me.
I'll ask for forgiveness afterwards.
Okay, afterwards. Okay.
I'll say, well, just this time, I'll get it right tomorrow.
Just this time, I get it right tomorrow. Was that a hand, Sharon? Okay.
I'm always doing what I'm supposed to be doing. If I mess up this one time, it won't hurt.
Okay, all right. I'm good 98% of the time, so this time won't hurt. Yes, ma'am.
That's all I know.
That's all I know. Okay.
That was for me.
Okay, that's all I know. Yes, ma'am.
I'm in ministry, so that should make up for it.
Ooh. Good. Told you she's been smirking over there. She's coming up with the answer. All right, so I want you guys to think about that. Because it is. We always got an answer for why we think we were right. It was straight before us. Oh, y'all ever had anybody go spiritual on you? God told me. Even though it goes against his word, but God told me. And this is how I came up with that exercise I gave you guys. So you got until Sunday to ask some people, okay? Ask one, ask two, just ask one person, okay? If we could see ourselves as people see us, what would they say? Would we be surprised by what they said? You think we were surprised? For the people who asked it, were they surprised? Were you guys surprised? Were you? Faith said yes?
No?
You weren't surprised? I started talking about this on Sunday. Going it alone. And then we had two people that recognized that was a blind spot for them, that they had a challenge asking for help. So they always did things on their own. So that's a blind spot. Anybody other than those two have a problem with asking for help? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number two, being sensitive to our behavior on others. All right. Nicole, can you give us an example where you recognize that?
I've learned that when I don't have information, I get anxious, and then I ask you 1,000 questions. Okay. Because I've learned that I feel like the reason I'm not getting the information is my responsibility because I haven't asked the right question.
Okay.
So then I get scared that maybe I haven't asked all the right questions.
Okay, okay.
So I overwhelm people.
Okay, all right, okay. Who else? Fall in this category. Do you have trouble building teams? Do you have trouble working with others? Are you aware of your impact when you show up? I'm just asking questions, guys. If you show up on a team and everybody starts resigning from the team, I'm just talking about blind spots. You ask people to help you move, and they start helping you get a whole team, and before you know it, after one run, everybody all of a sudden got something to do. Lying saying, oh, my mom called me. Yeah, I forgot I had it. Yeah, my wife needs me over there. I need to babysit. Anybody had that happen with them before? Where people start bailing off the job before you know it, you're the only one there? You're looking at it mighty funny. How do you think your behavior impacts others? The way you talk to them, the way you look at them, the way you place them. Y'all know what I mean by place them? I'm up here, you down here, so I need to remind you. Is that a blind spot? Were you always putting people in their place? How many of y'all say yes? Okay. Can y'all give me an example of that? And the reason why I'm asking for example is because there are other people in the same place, but if you give an example, maybe they can receive it, like the story. Faith? And I'm including myself in these things. So
I'm just going to say older worker, younger supervisor, the older person has an issue with the younger person telling them something, what to do, but it's their job description.
Okay.
And it's where the older person is placed.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, I mean, and sometimes it's not just the person telling you what to do. It's sometimes their inflection or their tone.
Okay.
How they say it to the older person.
Okay.
So the older person feels disrespected.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
At work, there is a girl who's a tech, and she's 23,
uh-huh.
whereas people are older than her,
uh-huh.
and then she feels like they don't respect her because of that,
okay.
and it shows.
Okay.
And one time she said, it was like last week, she said, I feel like I should get more respect, and I said, no, we all get the same respect, regardless of where we are, we should all get equal respect. Okay. And she's like, yeah, that's what I meant. I said, well, that's not what you said.
Yes, sir. Monty working. Monty working. Dr. Monty. All right. Monty said, you said, that's not what you said. All right, who else? Everybody good? Ooh. Can we read this one out loud? Having an I know attitude. Value being right above everything. What y'all think about that? Y'all know anybody or are we the person? Top?
Yeah, I got a lot of people at work that has that attitude.
Okay.
When you try to correct them, they're like, I know. I said, but okay. You didn't do it.
Okay.
So do you know? So I deal with that one a lot.
Okay. All right. I haven't heard it here a lot. I see you, Chris. I haven't heard it here a lot, but maybe it happens and I just haven't heard it. When you tell somebody to turn to a certain scripture, maybe because the scripture's up here. Y'all know the people? Yeah, well, he going to say such and such, and they start quoting the verse. Y'all ever dealt with somebody like that? That you want to get up and move? Let me just get up and move. Okay. Chris?
So for having an I know attitude, I have that, but it's not in everything. It's only in certain areas, I feel like, anyway. Yeah.
I always like looking at the parent when the child is talking or vice versa. Yeah. Cher, what do you think? Get Cher the mic. What do you think, Cher?
Well, I think it may have spread into more areas than we are aware of.
So that's a blind spot. Chris, I appreciate your honesty. Do y'all know anybody? Know everything? Yes. How challenging is it to be around them? Why? Talk to me. Latrice and Monica, talk to me. Why is it challenging being around them?
Well, for one, with their wealth of knowledge everything, they're almost having a conversation by themselves.
Okay, all right.
They are pontificating.
Okay, now you got to break it down.
Okay.
Hey, let's look it up. What did it say?
They're going on and on and on. Okay. And if there is a moment that you can interject something, they are going to one-up that statement and keep on with their presentation.
Okay.
And people start slowly moving away from them, not wanting to talk to them. And then they say, why isn't anybody talking to me? Why'd you guys leave me alone? They have a huge blind spot.
Okay.
They don't get it. They just think they are imparting some knowledge and broadening your horizon, and you should be so thankful to receive
their presence.
Yes.
All right, Monica?
My response was on the question itself.
Okay. All right.
I know everything. I have that.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate the honesty.
I have that with my kids.
Okay.
I that is a hard one for me.
Okay.
Now, with people, I don't have that.
Okay, I got
But
you.
With my kids,
okay.
I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Because they don't want to listen.
They don't want to listen. Okay.
So, and my response to them, it's always, okay, I have been on this earth for 55 years.
Okay.
You've been here for 17, and you're going to tell me you know more than I do.
Okay.
So, that's when I get that. I know everything.
Okay, I appreciate your honesty. How many other mothers are here think they, with their children, we know it all? All right? There's one and a couple people lying. But anyway. All right? All right, who else? What's the fear in not knowing everything? What is the fear in not knowing everything? Because, see, remember, the only reason we do behavior is because it works. What are we getting from it?
I think most people's fear of projecting that they know everything is because they don't want to feel like they're not smart.
Okay, all right.
It takes their confidence away.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. It takes confidence away. What else?
It takes away their validation and affirmation and respect.
Okay. And so what do you mean, Wayne?
So that means, like, you know, when you are know-it-all, you think that you're impressing people, okay, and they look up to you.
Okay.
And
okay.
But when, you know, but it is the opposite, actually. Okay. You know? But you get your identity from that, knowing that people look up and regard you in a good way.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Faith?
For me, my know-it-all attitude is when I know that, like, it's my subject area, special education.
Okay.
And if you're trying to tell me something, and it's like, but that's not, you know, like, it's like, I know that you're telling me something incorrect.
Okay, gotcha.
But for me, the value in being a know-it-all or just being knowledgeable is because of the fact I've been called a dummy all my life.
Ah.
So just okay. To be able to dispel the fact that, yeah, I'm not a dummy because this, okay. Okay. You know, but that's coming from my siblings.
Okay.
You know, and some other folks but to be called stupid or dumb to the point where it has taken my confidence.
Gotcha.
That I don't believe in myself.
Okay.
As or my own knowledge, even though I know my area, I know my educational strengths, but to actually go home and have somebody tell you you're dumb.
Okay.
Because I might be absent-minded or forget something.
Okay.
Or misstate it, and for somebody to always say that you're dumb.
Okay.
It makes you feel less than.
Okay, okay, all right, okay. Yes, sir.
So for me, it's kind of like the opposite situation. I've always had people tell me I'm smart.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have a moment where I don't feel smart, it feels really bad.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, all right. So let's go there, Faith. Just close your eyes. Just like I said before, everybody else, don't shut your eyes because y'all go in there. And take me back to that place right there where you just started tearing up as you were talking. And let me know when you got that. And what's the first time? You can hold the mic for her. Don't let her have to focus on holding the mic. So, Lord Jesus, what's the first time that Faith experienced being called a dumb, stupid, and it was intense? I want you to go to that place. Four? And what was the incident? What do you remember about that incident?
Just being clumsy.
Okay. So you dropped something or you failed, you tripped, you dropped something?
Well, I tripped and I fell and dropped something all over the kitchen.
Okay. And it went all over the floor?
Yes.
Okay. And what were you feeling?
Like, uh-oh, I'm about to get in trouble.
Okay. So when I make a mistake, I get in big trouble.
Yes.
Okay. And what did that person say? Who was it? Mom?
Actually, it's my brother.
Your brother? Okay. Older brother or brother?
Older brother.
Older brother.
Yeah.
And what did he say to that four-year-old?
That I was stupid.
Okay. Because you dropped something.
Yes.
And when did that little girl start to cry? I mean, really cry.
Maybe when I was eight.
Okay. But as a four-year-old, when he said that you stupid, you dumb, she didn't cry?
I don't think. No, because it didn't really register.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I think it took years before it sank in that, you know, this is what that word means.
Okay. And when he said it, was anybody else in the kitchen?
My mother, my brothers and sisters, my other brothers and sisters. They laughed.
Okay. So authority will laugh at me. They won't support me. They'll laugh at me. So what did that little girl start to believe about herself?
That I couldn't do anything right.
Okay. So how much worth does she believe she has if she can't do anything right?
None.
Would you mind if Jesus speaks to that?
No.
So Jesus, would you mind revealing your truth and your healing to that four-year-old little girl that's on the floor, that wasted stuff, who has no worth? What is your truth and your healing for that belief? I thank you that faith can only hear your voice, the voice of a stranger she will not follow. What do you see, sense, or hear right there?
He says, I'm here.
I'm here?
Okay.
So, Lord Jesus, where are you? If she's on the floor.
He's standing in the corner.
He's standing in the corner? And can you see him?
Yes.
So your older brother called you stupid and dumb. Jesus in the corner. And when you see him, what do you feel? Safe? Just stay right there where it's safe. And when you replay that, you fail, you wasted stuff, your brother called you stupid, dumb, your mom and others heard it and they laugh, but Jesus kept you safe. So what's going on this time when you go to that place?
Jesus is helping me get up.
He's helping you get up?
Yes.
Okay. And are you looking at him and he's looking at you? Or what's the expressions on his face?
Love.
Love?
Mm-hmm.
And what does love look like?
Patience.
Okay.
And calm.
So he's not jacking you up?
No. He's helping me up.
Okay. And why are you smiling about that as you explain that?
It just feels good to be picked up.
Okay.
Helped up.
Helped up. Would you just stay there for a moment? And just repeat after me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Am I stupid and dumb?
Am I stupid and dumb? Not by far.
Not by far. So he just didn't say not. No. He said not by far.
No.
I just asked him one more question. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Do I have to prove how smart I am?
Do I have to prove how smart I am? He says, not to me.
So is that a cool place right there?
Yes.
Okay. I just want you to go back one more time. You trip. You wasted it all. Your brother said some ugly stuff to you. But Jesus is right there. He lifts you up with patience. He says you're not dumb, not stupid, not by far. You look around that whole scene, what do you see?
I don't see anything but him. Like nobody's at the table.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's in the kitchen, just me and him.
That pretty cool?
That is.
So he moved everybody out. That was messing with his daughter. So you asked him, is there anything else you want to give me in place of the things that I've lost?
Is there anything else you want to give me in place of the things that I've lost? He says, only me. He gives me him.
All right, you can open your eyes when you're ready. How'd that feel?
Good.
You're welcome. Good, Ed. Thank you. Any questions on that? Everybody good? It's tithes and offering time.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. With Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul
for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.